Our gospel lesson is in Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all the opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. In our hearing, our speaking, our living.
May God's word of grace come.
We bless the backpacks and all those who will be wearing them and all those in the schools in the days to come, our blessings. Can I tell them what you're going to have? Holt said beforehand, remember the dining room, the luncheon, cafeteria, kitchen workers, because he's going to be a lunch lady this year. So we're great. We all carry backpacks, some seen and some unseen. Bring them here. We carry with us worries about jobs and family and storms. Some of us carry worries about cancer or heart disease or other illnesses. Strained relationships and the relentless bad news. Some of these we share in prayer time, and some we carry with us. The prayers we offer are prayers we can carry with us in those unseen backpacks. There is an oft-quoted line that I love that's been attributed to a number of people, but usually to John Watson, a Scottish minister under the pen name of Ian MacLaren, over 100 years ago. He said, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle." A woman enters a synagogue while Jesus is teaching. She's weighed down not by a backpack, but with some type of disorder that she has suffered from for many years. She's weighed down with the disdain of others, with the fact that she has become defined by her infirmity, and as a result has become invisible. Jesus interrupts the regular Sabbath service and his own teaching when he sees her. He calls her forward and takes this disabled, socially expendable, vulnerable woman and puts her front and center, makes her needs, her restoration and healing, the most important thing in that moment. The leader of the synagogue objects. Healing was allowed on the Sabbath, but in cases of critical, immediate need. Surely the needs of this woman could wait. Hadn't they seen her countless times before while not really seeing her? She was not complaining or demanding help. It was not an emergency. The leader was trying in his own way to honor the Sabbath too, to protect it, to do what was right. "The time isn't right. Wait," he said. "Come back another day." He easy to judge that leader. There are things we don't see, priorities that are misplaced. In 1963, Martin Luther King wrote his powerful letter from the Birmingham jail in response to 8 white clergy who had pleaded with him to wait, be patient. The time wasn't right. The next year, 63% of Americans polled agreed that civil rights leaders are trying to push too fast. This weekend in particular, we mark the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first slave ship in Virginia. Through all that time, we tell people of color, just wait. Time's not right to make it right. And most of the times, we do not, many of us, see the burdens that are carried. How long have gay and lesbian folks been told to wait for the right to marry, the right to keep their jobs? How long have the poor been told, especially in this state, it's not time yet for Medicaid expansion? Just wait. There's always a good reason not to help, not to care, not to change. Stick with the schedule, the program, the rules, the principles. Wait until I've got my act together. Wait until we study this some more and have some more good dialogue. Wait until people's attitudes change. Wait until we're ready. It's always tempting to say, not yet, not now. Jesus disrupts that thinking entirely. Religious practices were so important to him as a good Jew, but not nearly as important as the need to alleviate human suffering, the need to see the flesh and blood human being in front of him and to do what he could do. The time for healing is now. The time for justice is now. The time for grace, Jesus insists, is now. Sabbath, after all, is a day to remember God's promise of freedom and healing, of peace and wholeness for all creation. And Sabbath should open our eyes and our hearts to the needs around us rather than close them off. In our time, the Christian church has become known both fairly and unfairly for insistence on the rules and the dogma and preserving the status quo and playing it safe. We've put heavy burdens on many. Wait, we tell them. We're just not ready yet. What would it be like if the Christian church, the Church of Jesus Christ, who disrupted his own sermon, were known instead for centering the needs of the outcasts and the marginalized and those who've been waiting forever, of prioritizing the restoring of dignity and community and wholeness to people who are bent over by the burdens the world places on them? Jesus, somebody said, is all about our unbending. Many of you will remember beloved Arnie Johnson, member of this church, and one of Arnie's great lines was that sometimes you got to put your principles aside and do the right thing. Isaiah, like other major prophets, reminded people that our religious practices, our fancy words and rituals have to match our actions. If we ignore or do nothing about those burdens, then our words are meaningless and even offensive to God. If we don't care for those who show up repeatedly in Scripture, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the oppressed, the shunned, then we don't, in fact, Isaiah says, care anything about God. And when our words match our actions, then we have moral and spiritual integrity, he says. Then the light breaks forth like the dawn, and then we find our souls are restored to Sabbath holiness. It's why I left blanks in the prayer of confession, because sometimes we just need to stop and struggle to find our own words, our own voice, in ways that match our lives. The time for grace is now. The time to recognize our need for grace, our need to relinquish the burden, accepting that grace and watching carefully for every opportunity to be a vessel of grace. Luis Omar Ocasio-Cafo was one of the people killed in Pulse nightclub in June of 2016 in Orlando. His grandmother was flown on a JetBlue flight to Orlando for his funeral. One flight attendant thought it would be lovely to get a few signatures of willing passengers on a piece of paper to express their condolences to this grieving grandmother who sat alone on the plane. And she started to circulate a page in the back of the plane. And they whispered to passengers, "Could you just write a note? The grandmother's up there going to her grandson's funeral. He was shot and killed." Soon another piece of paper was needed. And then another. And then another. And when the flight was over and the grandmother disembarked, they handed her all these pages of beautiful messages, promises to pray, telling her she wasn't alone. It was the right time for grace. Jesus is disrupting the world with grace. We do not need to add to the burden of those already suffering by telling them to wait. We too can disrupt the world with grace. So whatever burdens you brought today, whatever's in your backpack, those burdens, as heavy as they may be, do not define you. Jesus beckons you to release them, to work to release the burdens of others. This past Wednesday, I had been invited to speak to a group of nine visitors, clergy, many of them under about the age of 40, from Germany. Where's Uli? It was great. We had a lovely time. They wanted to hear about immigration. They said, "What is going on here with immigration?" They asked. And we talked about what is happening with refugees and with churches in Germany as they try to offer shelter to refugees. And they had lots of questions. And I told them about sanctuary. And we shared. And at the end, I didn't know they were going to give me gifts, but they gave me some gifts, a wonderful t-shirt. It's great. But the other thing they gave me was this purse. This purse is made of a life jacket worn by a refugee on a boat in the Aegean Sea who made it to Lesbos, Greece. It's made by a group of refugees and people from Greece and all over the world who work together to restore dignity to the forgotten. They call themselves a village of all together. And they make purses and backpacks and all sorts of things out of discarded life jackets lining the beaches of Lesbos. and I'm going to keep it empty as a reminder to me each day that Christ beckons us to release the heavy burdens and to do all we can to relieve the burdens of others. It's a reminder to me of the others who are showing us what grace really looks like, and reminding us that the time for grace is now. Amen.